Everything is new. Good morning. It's so wonderful to be back with you all this morning. As Dave said, for anyone who I haven't seen or we haven't been able to share this with, it gives me great pleasure and joy to be able to announce that Samuel was born. My son was born on the 22nd of December. He is now 2 weeks old today. No, that wasn't. Thank you so much for your prayers and for your encouragements, for your cards and gifts. And we have been so loved by this church, and we are really grateful for you all. So thank you. We are thrilled and overjoyed with Samuel. He is doing really well. Him and Mum are doing very well. They are healthy. But, you know, Samuel is 2 weeks old, and so every day is an adventure. I don't feel sorry for me. I got a lot more sleep last night than Sarah did. So she is the one who deserves all of your praise and sympathy. And, they are doing really well. But thank you so much. So we come to a new year. We are in a new decade. It's full of excitement and possibility and possibly a bit of expectation, maybe a bit of concern, maybe some worry. Maybe there are some things that have been going on that you think, how is this going to work out? There is so much possibility that is presented in a new year. And I don't know how you like to mark New Year's, the beginnings of a new year. Maybe who here has some New Year's resolutions? I should take my hand down because I don't have any. I've never been very good at New Year's resolutions. I kind of feel like maybe my New Year's resolution has to be just to stop trying to set yourself New Year's resolutions because they never go very well. My hand would be going up for who would have managed to break a New Year's resolution before they get to the end of the first week of January. But I don't know for you whether the new year is you're hoping that maybe you might get a bit fitter this year or a bit healthier this year. Maybe you'll finish a course or some study. Maybe you'll pick up a new hobby or dust off an old one. Maybe there's something that you're just longing to use your time for, and you're thinking, this year, this is going to be the year. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's something else. For us, there is this sense of we are starting this decade. Sarah and I, actually, at the beginning of the last decade, got married, and then we're starting this decade off with Samuel. So there's this sense of what's going to happen? What's the new year? What's the new decade going to bring? But I want to suggest this morning, I was given Psalm 95 to speak from, and I want to suggest that perhaps, as David's already said, the best way for us to enter the new year is in an attitude of worship. I think that's one of the things that this psalm has to say to us. And as you know, a new year has happened, and everyone loves a good countdown for a new year, and we're not going to do the whole thing, but I'm just going to suggest maybe three reasons why entering in worship is a really great one. And I'm just going to issue one challenge for us all as a church body, but which actually speaks primarily to me. I feel challenged, but I'm just going to share that with you all. Now, for any young people who are either very diligently colouring and enjoying that, but for anyone else who's in here, if you count yourself as a young person in here this morning, I need your help. We are all going to need your help, because an initial challenge I'm going to set for you is this psalm this morning is all about entering. It's all about entering a new year, entering a new decade. So every time I use the word enter, we are going to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Okay? Should we try this? I've never done this before. Who knows what this is going to work? Right, so if I say enter, you go. Oh, okay. I didn't describe that very well, did I? Just give me a shout. Hey! That'll do. That's wonderful. That will encourage me as I go through this sermon. Every time I say the word enter, I'll feel like you're with me, and it's going to be wonderful. So let's do that. So, I'm sorry, Jim, because the word is come. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. But I'm going to say enter. Hey! Enter the new year. Hey! Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. I want to suggest this is the best way to enter this new year for us. Thank you. Well done. You're paying attention. Because firstly, the first reason is it helps us to take stock. As we enter in worship, we take stock. We worship God for who he is. The psalmist tells us, let us come before him with thanksgiving. For the Lord is the great God and a great king above all gods. Now, if you have your Bible open in front of you, you'll see that it says the Lord is the great God, big G, God. And he is a great king, big K, king, above all little g, gods. He is a great God over little g, gods. And I think if we're honest, at the start, as we enter this new year, we all have little g gods in our lives. I know I do. If I'm honest, if I really take stock, I do. Whether it's a football team or the latest sort of celebrity or reality TV star, maybe it's a social media influencer, maybe it's some other sporting team or it's another sporting personality, maybe it's your family, your kids or your grandkids. I can understand how my kid might become a little g god for me in a way. Perhaps it's your parents or your friends or your grandparents. There's something or someone in worship. Well done. We take stock and we realize there is one big G God, and it's the Lord. It's nothing else. It's none of the other things that culture offers us. It's God. It is God alone is the great God. And as we enter in worship, we remind ourselves that all these other things that culture and our families and society throws at us that feel like they should be God, there is only one, and it's him. So that's the first reason I think this is a great way to enter the new year. Love it. The second is as we enter in worship, we recognize the greatness of God's gifts. So the first thing is we worship him for who he is, because he deserves it and he's worthy. And the second thing is we worship him for what he has done, for his creation, for the gifts that he gives us. Because God is worthy of our praise. He just is. He just is worthy. But he is not a God who stands at a distance and says, well, I already have all the majesty, so just worship me. He says, I'm a God who gives good gifts because I love to. And he has given us this creation. The psalmist puts it like this. He says, in his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. This is the psalmist's way of saying the earth and everything in it is the Lord's, and it is given to us. This is like from top to bottom, left to right, all over, everything the Lord has created. Just as a point of interest, I was trying to think of, like, you know, you have the highest point and you have the highest mountain peak and the lowest trench in the sea and things like that. But I got myself thinking this sort of left to right motion. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Did you know there is a place on the earth called Point Nemo? There's nothing to do with the fish. This Point Nemo is the farthest point from dry land. Okay, it's in the South Pacific. And it sits in the middle of an empty blue circle the size of North America. That is what we're talking about. That is the furthest point from... You could be at that point on the earth. It's still the Lord's. That is as far as you can get from dry land. Still the Lord's. Everywhere we are on the earth, everywhere we are in the sea, from the top to the bottom, through and through, it's God's. And he's given it to us. We've been given, and it's for us. It's to create a safe place in which we can live and thrive and find our being and found families and relationships and build communities. This place he has given us is incredible. It is a precious gift. It's fragile, and it's been given to us. And so we praise God because we look at this place and we think, this is an extraordinary, complex, beautiful web of creation which is offered to us as a gift of love. And so that's the second reason that we worship God. Firstly, for who he is. We worship him secondly because of his creation that he has given us freely. And the third reason is we enter in worship. We gain perspective. Because just as we all have little g gods in our lives, and just as we all have a tendency to put ourselves even sometimes on God's throne, sometimes I am the little g god in my life. That is true. I have to admit that before you. But as we enter in worship, we remind ourselves that he alone is the great God, the great king above all gods, the author of creation. We remember his faithfulness to us, but he is not a God who stands far off and even just gives a gift and leaves us to it. There are lots of people around the earth who think that God is like that, who think that God just gives the earth and sets us up going, it's all right, okay, you're done, you're sorted, off you go. This is a God, this is a sovereign God in all majesty and glory who steps into our lives and lowers himself to come alongside us. And the psalmist says, he is our shepherd. Okay, he says, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. This is an up close personal God who gives himself for our daily needs. There is nothing too small or too big that God doesn't want to be a part of in our lives. He doesn't want to be the provider in our lives. This is who God offers to be for us. And the only response that the psalmist can come up with is, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before this Lord. He was our maker, but also our shepherd, the one who lays his hand upon our head to calm us, the one who leads us to water and finds us food, who keeps us safe and protects us through the dry seasons of our lives. Creation declares God's glory, but it also reveals our worth and the presence of God with us, owning us as his sheep and coming near to us and walking near to us and calling us by the sound of his voice. This is a precious, beautiful thing that God offers, and there's no other God who offers it. This is extraordinary. And actually, it may be that as we enter, maybe you don't feel a lot like shouting for joy. Maybe you don't. Maybe actually this feels quite strange, because perhaps the last year has been a little bit of a, like, we've battled through and we sort of arrived gasping over the line into the 1st of January and thought, oh, I made it. What on earth is this going to be like? What's coming? I've got no idea. I've got no idea. And that, you know, that may be big, you know, I don't know, big national or international things. It may just be things in family or your personal health or something where you're thinking, God, I think I only just made that. What's going to come now? Maybe actually it's not felt a lot like being people of the pasture this last year. It's actually felt a lot more like being people in the desert. It's been like going through this dry, almost like wasteland. It's just like, oh God, when is it going to change? When is it going to be different? Look, the thing that I want to say about that is, when we enter in an attitude of worship, it's not about pretending that things are different to how they are, but it's about declaring our part, and it feels like a battle. And sometimes that is our experience. But we declare as we enter in worship that we put our trust in God, that he will lead us through. He will lead us through. And he will lead you through, and he will lead me through. Because that is who he has promised to be. And we put our trust in his promises because he is faithful. And we see his faithfulness when we trust in him. So as we enter and worship, it's a great thing because we worship him for who he is. We worship him for his creation and what he's given us. We worship him for his faithfulness. And we declare that, God, I do not see the answer to my promises now, but I believe that I will, here or in eternity. I will see your faithfulness come through, because that is who you are for me. As who you've promised to be and who you've always demonstrated yourself to be. So when we talk about entering in an attitude of worship, oh yeah, well done, entering, yeah. Entering in an attitude of worship, it is all of those things. It's declaring who he is, and it's remembering, and it's putting him back on the throne. It's declaring his faithfulness, and it's putting our trust sometimes. Sometimes it is declaring something we do not yet see, but we long for, and we know he has somehow, somewhere for us. So those are the three reasons why I think it's really great for us to enter this new year in worship, in an attitude of worship. There are two ways I want to just suggest really briefly Really simply, two ways that we can enter in an attitude of worship. And it is this. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to suggest that these are two ways that we can enter into an attitude, with an attitude of worship, into this new year. Because actually, worship isn't just what we've done already this morning, although that is a great way to worship God. It's a great way to worship as a body of believers as we enter into this new year. We declare, well done, you're sticking with it. I'm really proud. This is so good. I never thought it would go this well. Right. That is a great way for us as a body to declare our worship and our trust and our faith together, to encourage one another. It's not the only way. Actually, by living in love, by giving our all for God, by loving him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, that is declaring worship. Because that is in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, in everything that we do, we're giving our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength to declaring the truths of God. That is worship. And that is worship that the world sees and can recognize and can glorify God for it, because they see the truth. They see the truth in your life. That is a great way and a really, really culturally challenging way to declare worship, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is everything. I've written down here, people heard this thing about love languages, right? This is, if you haven't, it's that we all have different ways that we like to express our love for the people in our lives. So it might be gifts, words of affirmation, time, physical touch, and the fifth one that I can never remember, but if you know it, fill in the blank. Sorry? Food, affirmation. Anyway, there are five of them. Go look them up. anyway. But what I've written down is love language, because there is this thing where each one of us has a character and a personality that is God-given, okay? There is a way that you love to express love, and you can use it for God as much as you can use it for the people around you, okay? I really want to encourage us all as we enter the new year, thank you, the world needs it. So we were singing earlier in this song, let my actions praise your name. Yeah, let my actions likewise praise your name. And this is what we're going for. Love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Because actually loving your neighbor isn't, we can't read that as love your friend or love your family. It's love your neighbor. Your neighbor might be your enemy. It might be someone that you find really irritating. And this is a really culturally challenging way of worshiping God, is by giving our all to love our neighbors. And just before we come on to the, so this is the two ways. These are just really simply the two ways I want to encourage us to enter in an attitude of worship this year, is love. Before I get on to the challenge, which is very simple and very short, just I came across a story this week that I really loved and really touched me, and I just share it on this thing about how actually it's love is a way that we can worship and we can demonstrate our worship to the world. And it's it was a story told by one of the really, really early pastors of the church. And it was at the time when the Apostle John was still alive, the John who wrote the Gospels. At the end of his life, he would be carried from church to church to speak to them about Jesus. And it was always really exciting, because we were like, this man, he lived with Jesus. He heard the words of Jesus' lips. This is going to be amazing. What's he going to say? And he was quite old, and so they would carry him on a bed from church to church. And he said, his name was Jerome. And he said that what would happen is that John would arrive at this new church, and he would prop himself up in his bed, and everyone would be listening intently. What's he going to say? And John would say this each and every time. He would say, little children, love one another. Love one another. And everywhere he went, he just said the same thing over and over and over again. Little children, love one another. And it got to the point where someone finally had the courage to say to him, oh, John, why do you always just say the same thing? And this was his answer. He said, because it is the Lord's command, and it is enough if it is done fully. It is the Lord's command, and it is enough if it is done fully. And I thought that was really, that really struck me, because I think we often try to make our faith really complicated, or we get caught up in lots of ways of making it complicated. And actually, Jesus, and actually, so I was really challenged by that. And I will end with this, with my one. So we've had three reasons. We worship God for who he is. We worship God for his creation. And we worship him for his faithfulness. We do that. There are two ways we can do that. We can do it by loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And then finally, there's a challenge that I think the psalmist offers to us. And he says this. He says, today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We are given a day. This was the challenge that I received from this passage. We are given a day to enter in worship, and it is today. For as long as the day is called today, we are called to enter in worship. Thank you. We are called to enter in worship. Because our hearts, just like the early Israelites, they easily get hard by lack of use. We need the daily exercise of worship to stop our hearts from seizing up. And there's a great prayer in church that daily ask that our hearts would be enlarged by the Holy Spirit, that we might love his people and love his earth and love him. We need that. We need our hearts to be continually exercised, to be stretched out, because like any other muscle, it seizes up if we don't use it. As we enter in worship, we can begin to identify the areas where our hearts are becoming a little bit hard. Because I know that as I do that, there are things that I've just lost my energy for or whatever. And the thing is, because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of if we think, oh, my heart's getting a bit hard. Because Jesus said, come to me. Come to me and I will give you the living water that does not run dry. We can come to Jesus and be honest, because there is no judgment. There is just there is forgiveness if we will be honest about where we're at. And there is help in the form of the Holy Spirit. So we can come to God. I even dare to say that we could even come to God when we recognize we're beginning to get a bit bored of worship. It happens. We can be honest about that, because our acceptability before God doesn't depend upon our performance. It depends upon his grace. So we don't have to be afraid. So I will genuinely close. As we enter this new year, this new decade, there are three reasons that we worship God: for who he is, for his creation, and for his faithfulness. In demonstrating love for God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And for so long as the day is called today, church, let's endeavor, let's try. And keep trying and keep trying, by God's grace, to enter in worship. Amen.